Hello, Electric Biz Babes. We have a guest today on the podcast. We have Katie Diffley, who's based in Ireland, and she is the founder and also the marketing consultant within Rebel Rising, which is a marketing agency. So I wanted to get Katie on because I really don't know much about an agency model. And this is what she is setting up. She's an ADHD entrepreneur who recently got diagnosed in adulthood. And she used to have a coaching business, which she eventually realized wasn't for her for various different reasons. And so she left that behind and set up an agency model instead. Now, as you can imagine, this is a lot of work. She has two kids at home. And so we talk about what that process has been like and how an agency model works to help serve clients in a holistic way in all kinds of different areas within their business, more so than you can do just on your own. So it's a really interesting conversation. She talks a lot about marketing within it as well. So you're going to learn about how to extend the lifetime value of your current clients, because I can definitely attest to the fact that your current clients are usually the most profitable ones. They have crossed that trust threshold with you. They already know, like, and trust you. And so they come back again and again and again if you give them a great experience and if you activate them. And you give them a transformation, they will be back again and again and again. So I am all for great customer service. And I talk about this in my Biz Bootcamp. It is all about amazing customer service, obsessing over customers so that they stay, so that they refer you to friends, so that you extend their lifetime value and they enter multiple different programs that you have going on. So we're going to talk about that in this episode. If you have any suspicions about having ADHD, I think this episode will help you as well, because it does manifest differently in women. And we're definitely seeing that this stereotype of the naughty, hyperactive little boy in school doesn't actually fit everyone with ADHD. And that's why so many adult, high-achieving women are now realizing that they themselves have ADHD because it never got caught because they masked it so well. So Katie is diagnosed ADHD and she talks about how she realized and how it was affecting her day-to-day life as a busy mum and entrepreneur. She also used to have a high position in Dell, which is where she got her passion for marketing and the startup world and the tech world. So there's various pieces within this episode that I think you might resonate with. So definitely let me know if anything in this episode speaks to you, sparks something in you. Send me a DM over on Instagram at I am Liz Roberta. I would love to hear what you take away from this conversation. Welcome to Electric Biz Babe, the podcast for women who are building their empire online and manifesting their ultimate dream life. You'll learn what it takes to be successful in business, so you can experience freedom and total alignment with your soul purpose. By understanding energy and the magic within marketing, you can quantum leap and create incredible results fast. I'm Liz Roberta, author of the Hay House book, Living in Tune, and I'm going to help you become electric in your life and biz, so you can step into leadership and attract everything you desire at lightning speed. I love supporting my electric biz babes so they are completely in their power and lit up every day by the work that they're doing. Because I know you have a massive mission. I know you're led by your heart. And I know you want to have a business that is so aligned with who you are and the way that you want to live. And so this is what I help people with in my one-to-one electric biz mentorship. If you've read my Hay House book, Living in Tune, this is essentially the one-to-one coaching version of it. I want you to be completely in alignment so that you're bringing through your full power. So you have absolute magnetism in your marketing and your sales, because that energy is so important as an entrepreneur. And I'm going to help you to build your business, get seen by more people, and light that fire within you so that you can bring more electricity through your business and you can do the soul work that lights you up in the world. So if you're interested, just send me a DM on Instagram with the lightning bolt emoji and I will give you the information. No pressure, there's no sales page for this, so you need to send me a DM. and I will give you that information so you can see if it's a good fit for you. There are loads of benefits with this. You get programs included, so you're getting a good deal here. If you want one-to-one support, reach out, send me a DM. Let's see if it's a fit for you. Hi, Katie.
Hello, my beautiful. How are you?
I am very well. How are you?
I am great. Looking forward to this conversation. Thanks for having me.
No, you're so welcome. I am so excited because we have been connected for years now, and I have seen your business go through multiple evolutions. So take me back to the very beginning. What was it that first inspired you to be an entrepreneur?
Oh, that is a big question. So when I was in Dell, so I worked for Dell as a marketing manager, as an e-commerce manager, leading their e-commerce team for EMEA, so Europe, Middle East and Africa. We had 13 websites. Everything was starting to really become more online. You were seeing other businesses really starting to get online. That was back in, I suppose, 2018. A lot more businesses were focusing on online and e-commerce sales. And I got into having, it was actually the society, the Boss Babe Society membership came up just from scrolling online. And I joined. I was like, what's this all about? So I joined the membership because I'd always had an interest in doing something myself anyway. And I would always be one of the only women, and most of the time, the only woman at a table, in a boardroom table in Dell with very senior leaders. And I thought, you know, I wanted to help more women get into leadership roles, entrepreneurship, and to help them grow their own businesses. So I started dabbling in the world of Boss Babe and the society. And basically, before I'd even launched anything, started to take on a couple of clients on the start, on the side, right? So like marketing clients, doing a lot of social media, marketing campaigns, launch planning. And that just started to grow. So started to get on some clients. And then it was 2021 where, was it 2020 and then 2021, I really decided, okay, I want to have a business now. I want to start growing this properly. And so 2020, I launched, or I was trying to build a course. I was like, maybe if I do the course first, maybe if I build a course and then, you know, we'll be able to have the financial stability to be able to leave an almost six-figure salary, because that's tough to do when you have the stability of corporate and the benefits and the health benefits and all of that. And I built the course with a friend of mine. We were doing it as a collaboration, and I burnt out, like really badly burnt out, because I was working hard in Dell. It was also 2020. We had the lovely pandemic, and I got to the point where I was just crying for no reason other than I was pure exhausted. And I decided to take 3 months off work, and the doctor helped me to take 3 months off work. 3 months, like I stopped working with clients, stopped everything. And I just thought, like, what do I want? You know, that really gave me that time to reflect and go, what do I want here? And I didn't want that to happen. I have two kids. They're now 8 and 5, and they were younger back then. And my little girl, one of the things that really sticks with me is that she found me crying. And she went over to daddy at the time, that sounds like he's not around anymore. He's still around. She went over to daddy and she was like, daddy, can you help mommy? Because mommy's tired. And when mommy's tired, she cries. And it broke my heart. And I said, oh, enough is enough. Like, I can't work two jobs. I was basically getting up at 5 a.m. to work before getting them ready for crash and school and whatever, and working my day job, not taking a lunch. Instead, I was working on my business and then getting their dinner in the evening and then straight back up the minute they went to bed and working until like midnight. So I was having about 4 or 5 hours sleep, but I was exhausted. And I just said like that, like this isn't any life. So how did I want to do it? So I decided that I was going to build a business online and move away from corporate. Hadn't told my boss or anything like that yet. And then my dad gave me something that was in a paper, and a local paper here in Carrick and Shannon. And it was called the New Frontiers Program. And it was developed by the government to help early stage entrepreneurs to grow their business in Ireland. And it was funded by the government, meaning there was a stipend of, God, don't quote me, I think it was 15,000 over the 6 months to help you leave your full-time job. You had to leave a full-time job. You weren't allowed to do it on the side. So I got it, and it's really hard to get into. And that was back in September 21. And I left Dell and started the program in October. And that's a 6 month development program. So it's really about looking at your business plan, your financials, like where the vision for the business, the product suite of the business, and where your whole business model. So I had decided at that point that after being, you know, burnt out and everything, that community was so important to me. Being around women and helping women, that whole vibe of community was something that I wanted to do. So I launched with a membership. And that was 2022, March of 2022. I launched with a membership, which was amazingly successful, right? It was really good. And the women in there were just phenomenal. And we had such a vibe, everything about it. But I still felt that I wasn't doing enough, like that I wasn't giving enough. So I'd gone into mentoring and coaching as well. And I was doing some mentoring and coaching of clients. I had some clients that I would say weren't very aligned. I had clients, you know, that were amazing. I had clients that, even though as a marketing coach or marketing mentor, brought me a lot of, you know, mindset issues and trauma. And that wasn't something that I was qualified to help them with, nor did I want to. That's not the area that I felt that I was good at. And I really wanted to stick to marketing and business. So that was kind of difficult. And I really just missed the doing, right? So I missed the doing of getting in behind the business, getting into the weeds, looking at, okay, how are we going to create this campaign? How are we going to launch? How are we going to create all this content? And actually the creative side of creating content, writing blogs, writing newsletters and emails. I love doing that. And that paired with my experience from Dell, which I wasn't getting to use as a mentor or coach. So when I was in Dell, we looked at marketing a totally different way than most agencies or most people will look at marketing. And that is growth marketing. And you'll start to hear a lot of it now. And startups definitely use this model. But growth marketing, or growth, I suppose, growth hacking would be the term, would be looking at how can we gain like fast traction in the market, whether they're a new startup business or a corporate organization like Dell, who's looking to, you know, bring out a new offering or looking to drive additional revenue streams into the business. What it is bringing together multiple people, not just in marketing, but in multiple departments, to basically come up with a strategy on how to grow the business. So I saw a gap in the market of this is not being done. Like everyone is teaching marketing one way, the online way of, you know, the same launch strategies, the same content strategies and everything that goes into it. And even agencies are focusing on more of the top of funnel things. So with growth marketing, you've got six stages to your funnel. You have awareness, acquisition, activation, retention, referrals, and then revenue. And they would really mean different things. So I'm going to go through them. So if that's okay, if you
Absolutely,
want me to.
Yes.
So most agencies focus on, when I say top of funnel, I mean your, in simple terms, your attraction and acquisition of leads into clients. Most agencies will focus on that. So you think about a performance marketing agency, they're focusing on getting leads through ads and they're focusing on conversion of those ads, right? So they're top of funnel in a growth marketing sense, right? It still comes down the funnel in a traditional marketing sense, but in a growth marketing sense, that's still above the line. What they're missing is the potential from your current customers, the potential from communities. So awareness, acquisition, activation is, like it says, brand awareness, getting people to be aware of your business, your brand, your product. Then your acquisition is being able to bring them in as a lead. So whether that is, you know, lead magnet, signing up to a free trial of something, whether it is, you know, sampling products, essentially acquiring that lead. And then activation is when they convert into a client, into a customer. And after that, people usually go back to the start. Okay, so how are we going to make more people aware? How are we going to acquire more leads? How are we going to convert more? But what they forget about is the customers or clients that they already have that are very hot potential leads for their next thing or to drive more revenue in the business. So how that looks is you've got retention, referrals, and revenue. Retention being to retain the clients and drive a better client experience, customer experience, user experience, if you're a SaaS product, for your clients and customers to get them to stay.
What's a SaaS product?
So think about Dropbox, right? Would be a SaaS product. So software as a service. You've got anything like ClickUp or, you know, Asana that you might use. They're all software as a service. And you sign up generally as a subscription, you pay monthly to those, right? So retention is more cost effective than acquiring new leads. So it's looking at, well, how do we retain those people? And that works with every business, but a lot of the online businesses don't seem to do that. So it works in coaching, it works in services, it works in, you know, product-based businesses, is retaining the customers that you already have. So the harder part is getting people to become a lead and to buy. The easier part is actually to retain them, ask them for referrals, and then build additional revenue streams with that client base. So when you think about retention, let's give an example. Say you have, I'll talk about coaching because it makes, I suppose, the most sense for your audience as well. So if you have a one-to-one coaching client and they've got a 6-month contract with you, you are better off seeing how you can retain them to drive them into maybe a longer term contract or offer additional products, offers, etc., that will make them stay or that will want them to stay. Maybe that's a membership. Maybe that is, you know, retreats. Maybe it is quarterly strategy sessions. There's always opportunity for you to gain retention and additional business from that client. Then you look at referrals. Well, if they love you so much and they're already trusting in you and they love what you do and they're getting results from you, then they're more likely to refer other people to you. And even still, even with all the content and everything online, the warmest lead you will get is a referral, because it's that word of mouth that from someone that they trust. And so building out a referral program through your current clients is so key. And then the last part is revenue. So how do we drive more revenue from our current customer base? And that, again, looks like adding additional products and services to your business. So it's all about product development. For example, you know, you'll see, again, going back to like a software business, they might have different tiers of their packages where you get different additional benefits, additional, features along the way as you go up. So that's retention, but also driving more revenue into the business. Or you'll have a coach that will have her one-to-one coaching program, and then she might do a retreat that person can join, or a membership that they can join, or vice versa. It could start with a membership and then they go into one-to-one coaching. So it's always looking at, well, where are the opportunities within my already warm client customer base? And with a product-based business, That could look like additional products. It could look like subscriptions. It could look like events. There's so many different things that you can do to drive more revenue opportunities within your current client base. So it's like, you don't need to have hundreds and hundreds of clients and customers if you optimize on what you're actually offering and the experience that you can give the current ones that you have.
Totally, totally agree. So I use Kajabi and Stripe. And so when I click on a customer, I can see what they've paid and all the programs they've been in. Mm-hmm. And it's like, there are a few people who have been in pretty much everything that I offer.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting to see the routes they take as well, because it's not that everyone does my membership and then moves up. I will have mm-hmm. people start with Spiritual Coaching Academy, and then afterwards they go into the membership. So it's not always a linear upwards path.
Yes.
But when they have that trust with you, and I put it on my stories yesterday, when people get an amazing transformation, they will be back for more. So the more yep. of a transformation you can provide, they are your best mm-hmm. leads. And you end yeah. up building this really strong relationship that becomes like a friendship when you've been working with someone for over a year and you know each other so well. And then you can help them in a more detailed, specific way when you're with them over the longer term and you've helped them in multiple programs.
Mm-hmm. And you get to know them, like you really get to know what it is that they need. And when you have those close relationships with your customers and clients and you bring them into your product development, they're more than happy to do that because, you know, they're already invested in you and your brand. But also that is going to help you really create the best products for your customers because they know what they want, right? And I'll give one example just of how this works a little differently would be, take a startup like Dropbox. And I'll use Dropbox because it's a big example of the growth hacking method. There's a great book, actually. It's called Hacking for Growth by Sean Ellis, I'm pretty sure it was. He basically came up with this whole model and it's phenomenal. So if you look at Dropbox, they went out with a storage product for cloud storage for their customer base. And when they put it out to market, they wanted to grow fast. They were like, how do we gain incredibly fast traction in the market? And they put out a referral program. And this all comes down as well to the importance of testing and experimenting with different things, because their first referral program flopped. So their referral program was similar to what PayPal had done. Sign up, you refer someone to the platform and we will give you €10, £10 back or off your subscription or whatever it was. But that's not what their customers wanted. So they went back in and they spoke to the product development teams, the marketing teams, the finance teams, you know, the customer service teams, the sales teams within their business and said, what is it that the customers want? So how will we get them to refer more business? And it was storage. What did they come to Dropbox for in the first place was storage. So instead of offering money back, which works for PayPal because it's a payment provider or a payment processor, but didn't work for Dropbox, it was storage that worked for them. So they offered customers additional storage space if they referred business. And they grew, I don't have the numbers now, but it was absolutely massively, very, very quickly because of that little change in their referral program. So that's what growth marketing is about. It's like looking at the opportunities for growth and testing, innovating, testing, not being afraid to try something different. So that's why I talk all about being disruptive and testing it out and seeing how it works. And then you go with the winner, I suppose, the winning recipe of what is working.
I love it. And let's talk a bit more about Rebel Rising in particular, because you are setting up this agency now. Mm-hmm. So can you start with telling everyone what an agency model is and yes. then talk a bit about what you're going through right now, setting it all up? Because mm-hmm. I follow you on Instagram. I'm watching your stories. There is so much going on behind the scenes. And I find it fascinating that you're working with so many other people who are experts in their field under the umbrella of your business. So yes. can you tell us a bit about that?
Absolutely. So agency models traditionally is, you know, you go to an agency to outsource a lot of your work, your marketing work, whether that is performance based, whether it is, there's so many different agencies, right? There's content agencies, there's design agencies, there's e-commerce agencies. Performance marketing agencies are probably one that most people would be aware of that focus on ads and Google ads, Facebook ads, etc. And you essentially go to an agency and you ask them, you want to get to a certain goal within your business, and you ask them to help you to do that. And they will tell you, okay, this is how we're going to do it. Will we do it through ads? And then you've got content agency over here who does content. And then you've got a design agency over here that does design. And then you've got, you know, there's e-commerce agencies that help grow e-commerce businesses. And they look at the CRO of an e-commerce website, which is conversion rate optimization. Now, that's a lot what I did in Dell was CRO, conversion rate optimization, along with the creative, along with the campaign planning. So I very much describe myself as a T-shaped marketer, right? I have a broad knowledge of a lot of different marketing aspects, and I wanted to be able to bring all of that to the table, but not doing it all myself. So that's why I hire in other consultants that are vetted by me, that are extremely professional in their individual, you know, skills and industries. They all have many years of experience within corporate environments, working for bigger brands, and they really understand the fundamentals of growing a business. And what we do differently is when we have a project, a marketing, could be a marketing project on, could be a brand development project, I will bring in those experts into those projects to help with that project. So they are essentially, I would say, freelance, or for another word of it, they are not employees within the business. They are hired as a consultant by me into the business to help my client to grow. So most agencies will have themselves, and then they'll build out a team of executors that are going to execute on ads and content and everything else. And yes, we will do that. We will absolutely be building a team, but I also want to be able to tap into the knowledge of some very experienced consultants that are running their own business and that can come in on projects with us. And the success of, like, the agency model, how it's different is it's a lot of delivery, a lot of, you know, execution. You're delivering rather than coaching, where you might be talking through a strategy with someone. You're actually delivering the presentation. You're presenting the strategy to them and the plans and how you see that growing. They're coming to you with a goal, and you're developing the plans and strategy and the campaigns to get to that goal. So you're very much in the business, hands on in the business, versus a coaching or mentoring agreement. And I wanted to be able to bring in other experts rather than my client having to go to someone else to get a financial consultant, or to, you know, someone else to get a leadership consultant. It's how do I fundamentally help my clients grow? And that is what I really want to do. So rather than them having to go out and hire all these different people, I'll bring them in on projects. So there's two areas to our business. One is the agency side and one is the consultancy side at the moment. And we are also going to be launching an academy side, right? So there's that, those kind of three elements. The agency is where you will have me doing, you know, marketing strategy, doing your marketing plans, creating the content. And also I have additional freelancers and contractors that work with me, like for the likes of copywriting, etc., design. But it's always got my eyes on it, right? It's always got me right now. Eventually, it will be others within the team, but right now it's got my eyes on everything. And the other side then is your consultancy, the growth consultancy. And that's where if we have a client that is a startup or is an established business that is looking to grow, we will come together as a team of consultants to do a project and see where do they need support. So we have a leadership consultant, we have data and analytics, we have brand consultant, we have finance and operations, we have systems and automations, all of these different high level consultants that come in and help. And we come together as a team to say, where does this company need the support with? So you're going to have Pamela looking at the finance and operations side. You're going to have, you know, Melissa looking at the brand side, me looking at the marketing, etc., all coming together to create the best plan for growth for that client. Then going on from that, we might say from that initial project, we believe this is what you need. And then they can either hire, you know, Rebel Rising as an agency. They can hire one of our consultants that they need for ongoing support. And it works from there. So it's a very collaborative, I suppose, remote collaborative agency, you know, that we all come together to work on projects. And the experience of these ladies, like, oh, just to give an example, Melissa has been a brand strategist for the likes of 20th Century Fox, Starbucks, you know, big brands. We've got Jenny, who is our data and analytics consultant, who is ex-Google, and she has clients such as Coca-Cola and Nike and Adidas and, you know, all of these bigger brands. They know their shit. And it's like, how do we bring that into a startup situation or like that an established business, all female founded or female led businesses that we can help them to grow? And it's really, I would say it's like having an executive board within your business. So having the brains of an executive board in your business, which, you know, for a startup is incredibly important and very beneficial if they want to grow fast.
So when you say a startup, what kind of business are we talking about here? Would that cover coaching, healers, that kind of thing?
So for Rebel Rising, we have different areas of business that we look at. So for coaches and consultants, we would advise marketing agency side, unless they were, let's say, a seven-figure business that is looking for additional ways to grow their revenue, then we could bring in the team of consultants. For a startup, it would be the likes of femtech startup or an e-commerce brand that is female founded, whether that is, you know, athleisure, clothing, jewelry, skincare, a lot of different e-commerce businesses. Then tech, my whole background has been in tech and I love the world of tech. So if we have a software product, software like a SaaS product, software as a service, if we have apps, if we have, you know, any of these tech companies, then they are also potential clients for us for the growth consultancy side. And then the agency side, very much for the coaches, consultants, even other agencies, because like that, you might have a performance marketing agency that doesn't focus on content and storytelling like we do. So they would hire out another agency to do that work. And I'll do an example of, you know, some of the clients that we have on right now are a holistic skincare line. We also have a psychologist, right, who goes into corporates and she helps to build careers for teams in corporate. We have had number of conversations over the last few weeks and, you know, some of them are sleep consultants and event planning businesses. And there are many businesses that we can help. But in terms of the growth consultancy, it's really you're looking at a startup who has maybe just got funding and wants to, you know, tap in for very fast traction in the market. Or you're looking at an established, bigger kind of corporate business that now wants to grow another arm of the business, or maybe they're consumer-based business and they want to grow a B2B business-based side to their business as well. So they're the kind of opportunities that you would look at the growth team, but the agency definitely for more of the coaches and consultants.
And you mentioned before we started recording, we talked about ADHD, because I remember I was in the airport in Lisbon and I was voice noting you just after you got your diagnosis and we were talking about ADHD.
Yeah.
And then you said that was one of the reasons you wanted to move over to the agency model. One reason among many.
Yeah.
So how has life been for you since being diagnosed as an ADHD entrepreneur, mum of two, building an agency? What has that been like? And what have you learned about yourself in this process?
It's been crazy. It has been crazy. But you know what they say, like when you love what you do, it makes it easier. So I had thought, just to give you a background, that I had ADHD for about 2 years. And it was good old TikTok that gave me that. Eye-opening. I was looking at TikTok and going, oh my God, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. And I really started to think about like my childhood and going, you know, doing some research on ADHD in women and in girls. And I was like, I definitely think I have ADHD. And when I burnt out in 2020, the doctor put me on a low dose anti-anxiety medication. And I never felt like I had anxiety. I always felt like it was something else, because anxiety, yeah, but it would only be like for a week, or, you know, it was never like an ongoing, like I have friends that have anxiety, crippling anxiety, and it's every week, or they have depression.
There's no
and
escaping
never,
it. I exactly. have anxiety disorders every minute of every day, every night. It doesn't come
yes,
and go.
Exactly. Whereas I'll have it in waves. And that, when I look back now, knowing that now I have ADHD, it is more so the ADHD burnout of, you know, where it'll hit, the anxiety will hit you. So I was misdiagnosed, obviously, for years. And then I went back to my doctor and I said, look, I think I have ADHD. And I wrote down a list of different things that I do and why I thought I had ADHD. Like, to give an example for anyone that's listening, like, you know, when I love doing something or when I'm super passionate about something, I can get so much done and I can hyper focus, and like, I will forget to eat. I will be at my desk and I'll be like, shit, it's 3 o'clock and I haven't had lunch yet. I'll be head down focused. And on the flip side, if it's something that I'm not interested in, I'll procrastinate and I will just keep pushing that thing away until it becomes an urgent, for example, my end of year accounts. I hate doing them and I'll leave it to last minute, very last minute, until I have to do them. So that was one thing. And then personally, things like, you know, I'd go to the fridge and we'd have a full fridge of food and I'd be totally overwhelmed. I'd be like, there's nothing to make. And my husband's looking at me going, we have a full fridge of food, like, you know, but I'm like, my brain can't think of what there is to make for dinner. So unless I know what I'm making and I know I've got all the ingredients there, I find it really difficult to just go to a fridge and make food, because my ADHD brain makes it feel like a bigger task than it actually is. So it immediately kind of shuts down. Or the washing. I'll go to do the washing and I just cannot seem to keep up with the washing. And I know, yes, I have two kids and a husband, but it's just never ending. And I know a lot of women will say this, but it's like, how do I fit this in that it's going to become easier? Because that felt like such a big task, where I was left with big baskets of clean washing, but they never get put away. And then everyone's pulling out the baskets and, you know, things like that. So there was all these little things. Or I would start projects and not finish them. And I mean, like, a start project could be cleaning out one of the cupboards at home. And I'd start cleaning that out and then the cupboard would be open and I'd be over the other side of the room doing something else. So cleaning something else, or I'd be up cleaning a bathroom. I'm just like, this is gone, you know? So those kind of things where I was like, right, this is definitely, you know, there's more to this. My brain never shuts off. So I'd be listening, sitting down watching Netflix and with my husband, and I'd just ask him random question and he would look at me and go like, where did that come from? And I'm like, oh, I was just thinking. He's like, you're not watching this. And I'm like, no, I am, but it's just my brain never stops. So I told her this and she was like, okay, we'll put you forward to get an assessment. And I got the assessment. I had to wait 9 months, which is really fast for Ireland, because I had a good mental health. So first they do mental health checks here. That's the process. You see like the mental health consultant before, and then he puts you forward for assessment. So he had already kind of said, yeah, I think it's worth the assessment. In other words, I think you might have it. So he did a lot of the pushing to get me an assessment, basically. So I only had to wait 9 months. Got the assessment, went in, they brought my mum in. They wanted someone, like, if you don't have a parent, someone, maybe a partner or, you know, a really close friend that would know you very, very well and know you from your childhood. So they interviewed her, they interviewed me, and mum went in thinking, like, no way, like, she doesn't have ADHD. And during it, I remember her looking at me going, I think you might have it, you know? I was like, yeah, I told you. But she missed it because I was good at masking.
Mm-hmm.
I was good at school. You know, if it was a subject that I liked, I really excelled in it. You know, I got a first in my, I went back to college during my earlier years in Dell to do marketing after I had done lots of other things. I went back to do my marketing degree and I did the finals of my marketing degree whilst working a full time in Dell and planning our wedding in Croatia. And I got a first class honors degree in marketing because I had so much on. So mum was like, yeah, like normal, you know, I'm not saying ADHD isn't normal, but normal people don't do that kind of thing, right? And so, yeah, anyway, it became apparent. They diagnosed me with combined, I think it's called, ADHD, which is why it was missed, because I'm very much even keel between the hyperactivity and the attention deficit. So a lot of the time you'll be more of one or the other, which is why it's recognized in children, because it's more obvious, whereas I would have both sides, so it would seem less obvious. So I got diagnosed, and initially I cried when they gave me the diagnosis. And I think you go through a bit of a mourning of your younger self. It's like, ah, now that's why I did that. And that's why that happened in this situation. And that's why, you know, that situation with an old friend happened and why we're no longer friends. Or all of these things start coming to you about your previous life, I suppose. And you go into a bit of a spiral of, you know, anxiety and overthinking things. What would it have been like if you'd known? So that was that. And then I decided, that was in March, and I was kind of deciding already to go into an agency model at that time. But one of the key things for me with ADHD is having deadlines. So like I said, I'll leave things till the last minute, but they will get done because of my hyper focus, and they will get done to a very high standard because of my hyper focus, which is definitely a gift. But I need those deadlines and I enjoy those deadlines, which is why I love launching. People say to me, how do you like launching? Like, launching is, you know, scary. And I'm like, no, I love launching. I love launching. I love like bringing out new brands and developing and having those dates that you're working towards. And I managed Black Friday for years in Dell. So I was the program lead for Black Friday along with my managerial role. And that meant that I looked after over 200 stakeholders globally to run the Black Friday multi-million campaign in UK and EMEA. And it was crazy, but I loved it. And, you know, during Black Friday week, I would be in the office working till 2, 3, 4 in the morning. And then you're back in at 7 a.m. for the, you know, the next day's offers. We called them doorbusters. And I loved it. I loved the hype. And that whole energy like kept me going. And I was like, how do I bring that into my business? And for me, that, and variety is so important for me as well. So with ADHD and having that, not so that I don't get bored with things. So having different clients and having different campaigns to work on and different stages of their business and their brands, that really, really keeps me going. It keeps me interested. So when I do work with a client, this is another thing with ADHD is, I want to say you become obsessed, which it's like, what do they call it? I'm trying to think what the actual term is. It's, I don't know if you know, it's not like hyperfocus is the one, but there's another one, which is basically where
fixation. Hyperfixation.
That's it. Hyperfixation. So I become hyperfixated with things. So when I work with a brand, I really get into their business and go, okay, so how are we going to make this grow? And become fixated on helping them to grow and the numbers. And really, it's like I am part of the business. It's not that they are just a client. And that's the kind of agency I'm growing, which is me being their partner, their marketing partner within their business, because that keeps me interested. It keeps me on my toes. And then I'm also working to the deadlines of their projects or their campaigns. So it works so much better for me. So that the whole agency model and actually doing the work and being able to hyper focus on things really lights me up. And I think that's why I loved launching so much in my coaching and mentoring business, because I got to get in, I'd have a date and I got to get in and, you know, get everything ready and do the creative work and hyper focus and get the sales page done and all of that, which is why I loved that part of it. So I said, right, how do I bring that into an agency? And that's really how I'm doing it now, is being a partner to a small group of clients that I can really help them to grow.
I'm so glad you found a way. And I'm so glad you shared some of those traits and your experience of ADHD, because I know, I can feel some people will listen and go, maybe that's what I have. Maybe I have ADHD. And yes. I love that you said you found on TikTok, because it gets so much stick and everyone's like, oh, people are making it up. No, because if you don't have ADHD, you watch them and go, oh, that's interesting. You don't watch it and go, that's me, if you don't have it. So
yes. Oh, a big one for me as well, which will give you a laugh, was on on TikTok. And now I'm very aware of this. On TikTok, I was like, so there was a woman who did her ADHD traits, typical ADHD traits on TikTok. And one of them was dinosaur arms or T-Rex arms, right? So like walking around like with your two arms like this. And then I was walking around my house, just cleaning my house, finding that like I was having this one hand just like this and I was cleaning everything else. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have ADHD. And I was looking at different people in my life. Like, I'm pretty sure that my dad has it. He's never been diagnosed, but my dad does that. And I was like, everything I do, he does. And everyone has always said that we're so similar, blah, blah, blah. He's in his 60s and he's like, if I have it, I have it. I'm not getting diagnosed now. You know, he's like, no. But then I was looking at him and going like, yeah, he does that, you know, whereas like my mom doesn't. So it's just funny how you see all these symptoms that you have been doing all your life, but never recognized and no one ever pointed it out as, you know, why do you do that? Like, why do you walk around with one hand just like floating there? It's the weirdest thing, but I do it when I'm focused on something else. It's just so funny.
That is so funny. And again, someone will go, oh, I have dinosaur arms as well. That's such a funny little
look them up.
Nuance. Yeah. How bizarre. Oh my goodness. And the last question that I want to ask before I let people know where they can find you, what is your future vision, the ultimate goal for Rebel Rising? What are you driving towards in 2024 and beyond?
So we want to be the place where female founders can go to be supported, to grow their business and make an impact. So when I was going through the last number of years, I've made a lot of investments, some good, some terrible. And I really wanted to have a business that was impactful and have a business that was going to help change the world. And as we know, there is so much horrible things going on in the world right now and always, right? And so much war and everything. So it's like, how can we help to impact that as a business? And one thing for me is that I want to educate. So I want to, yes, I'll have my agency consultancy clients to help them to grow and help female founders to grow. But I also want to educate and make it really accessible for women to join and to be able to fund projects in countries that don't necessarily have the education or the structure to grow their own business. That is my ultimate vision. I want to go over there and I want to help these women in person, and I want to, you know, help them to, whether it is a small business in their town of, you know, making products by hand, whatever it is, I want them to help them become more independent and to fulfill their own dreams. And that's really important to me. And I want to be able to show my kids that, you know, there is a lot of heart in the world and there is a lot of good in the world, and that they get to be part of that. So that's a huge driver for me as well.
Amazing. And where can people find you? The website, Instagram, and how can you help them?
So the website is being relaunched at the moment. So on the 15th of November, I don't know when this podcast is going out, but on the 15th of November, which right now is next week, it is going live, rebelrising.co. And right now, our books are open for 2024 for the agency, whether that is that you want content support, you want, you know, someone to write newsletters, blogs, articles for you, or if you want to actually have a consultant that's going to be a marketing partner and help you build out your business in 2024, that's available too. And then also our growth consultancy arm, which is bringing the team of growth consultants together for startups and businesses. And then we've got something coming in January, which is going to be the first stage of our academy. And the academy will launch the beginning of January, right after Christmas. And that's going to be all focused around newer stage entrepreneurs and how they can start and grow their business online with proper marketing. And I say proper marketing because I think there's a lot of, you know, BS and wrong information being shared online. So it's, you're going to get education from someone who is not only educated in marketing, but also experienced from the business corporate world in marketing. So how to grow and how to come up with different strategies. You don't have to copy what everyone else is doing. You can actually create your own strategies and try and innovate and do it your own way. So that's what we are kicking off with in January. Our podcast will be out next year as well, our season two, which for Liz, you're definitely coming on to that. That's going to be out in February. You can find me at It's Katie Diffley on Instagram or at rebelrising.co. So I have my personal page and my agency page. I'm on LinkedIn, Katie Diffley on LinkedIn, and again, Rebel Rising on LinkedIn and on TikTok as It's Katie Diffley. So that's me.
I will link your website and your Instagram underneath in the show notes if anyone wants to go and check you out. Thank you so much for this conversation today. So much information, so much gold about not only marketing and growing a business, but also the ADHD thing I really feel will help some people as well. Mm. And hearing about your journey, your achievements, your varied experience, it's been so interesting. So thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me.
My pleasure. Thank you, Katie.
Talk soon.
If you're looking for your next step towards your next level, head to the link under this episode where you can download a free course on how to build your soul-aligned empire. If you love mastering energetics and manifestation alongside the tangible, practical business pieces, this is for you. If you're enjoying this podcast, reviews really help, and hit subscribe so you see when new episodes come out each week. I'll see you next time on the Electric Biz Babe podcast.